You're listening to the Yizzy Research Podcast, hosted and created by me, Imani, a researcher. This is the podcast for people who research people. In today's episode, I speak with Karen.
My name is Karen Eisenhower, and I'm currently a freelance qualitative researcher specializing in foundational and longitudinal studies in the user experience space. My background is in consulting and also heading partnerships for qualitative foundational research at DScout, which is a research technology company. There, I specialized in foundational and longitudinal studies, mainly doing diary studies and other kinds of remote survey work. I also spent some time in academia as a linguist, where I studied sociolinguistics, particularly language and gender, and wrote a book all about gender presentation in children's films.
Karen will talk about tagging qualitative data. And in handling all of this data, from your academic experience to now your experience in industry, also writing a book, a research-intensive book, you've tagged a lot of data. You've handled a lot of data. What does it mean to actually tag data? We use that word a lot in research. What does it actually mean to you?
I believe that when it comes to tagging data, what we are foundationally doing as qualitative or mixed methods researchers is rendering order and at times quantification from a qualitative mess, basically. And of course, qualitative data is some of the most powerful we have. It's emotional, it's naturalistic, it's super important, it's in-depth, but it is messy, right? Like it comes to us in a very unorganized form and it's difficult to work with. So tagging is one of our primary tools that we have as researchers to take that mess and turn it into something that we can actually handle and eventually present in a way that's digestible.
A huge part of doing research, especially qualitative research, is sense making. Like you said, we collect all this rich data that is oftentimes messy because they're capturing how people feel, what they think. And it can be hard to organize humanity, the complexity of the human experience. But that's what we aim to do to an extent with tagging data. And you've worked with a variety of methodologies, open-ended surveys, diary studies, media texts. That's what you've primarily spent time working with. Which qualitative methodologies are better suited for tagging?
And I think that when it comes to methods, any qualitative data can be tagged. And in a lot of cases, almost every kind of qualitative data should be tagged at some point or another for some reason or another. But the way in which you go about it might shift depending on what kind of data you're working with. Personally, my favorite data to tag is survey data, open-ended survey data. It's what I have the most experience in, but it also gives us an opportunity to be more targeted in our tagging. We can ask one question, get one set of answers, and then be really specific about devising, okay, how do we want to make sense out of this? How are we going to apply our tags, code this in a way that will give us a little bit more analytical power? I find it to be a more straightforward process and something that's really easy to design around. That being said, interview data is really, I think, more difficult to tag and a little bit messier and more complicated, but also maybe needs it a little bit more, right? Because it's messy, because there's so much data to sift through, the ability to bookmark, highlight, tag, and organize our data becomes all the more important depending on what you're going to do with that data. So I would say that in a funny way, I think survey data is more suited to tagging, but tagging is more suited to broader data like interview data. It's more about what you want out of the process than anything else, though.
That makes sense. And when you and I were talking offline, you had mentioned that people oftentimes tag data without knowing why they're tagging. And you should, to optimize your research process, you should know why you're tagging. And you believe that generally there are three approaches and goals for tagging qualitative data. What are those three approaches?
Absolutely. I think I've seen this quite a bit professionally, that folks know that tagging is an important step towards sense making and end up doing it because it's a step in the process, but not necessarily with a strong vision about what they intend for those tags. And I think that at best, this can end up being kind of a bloated process that doesn't necessarily render results very efficiently. And at worst, it can be a process that ends up being just cast aside on the cutting room floor, doesn't end up being particularly useful at all. And any researcher who's tagged manually knows that this is a very time and effort intensive process. So it's definitely, I think, super important to have a clear vision about why you are spending all of this time, because it is such a costly thing and can be so powerful when it's applied correctly. So to answer your question, yeah, I think that there are three main reasons why I like to do tagging. And again, this is mainly towards survey work, which is where my experience is. But I think it does apply generally to one-on-one interviews and other kind of textual data. I think that there are kind of three main ways to go about it, ranging from less formal to more formal, or one might say more backstage to more front of house when it comes to what you're actually intending to present to your stakeholders at the end of a project. The first being like the least formal, we have our organizational tags, where we're really just kind of helping ourselves to make sense of something. Yeah, we're really trying to help ourselves make sense of something, organize things on the back end, just to make sure we can find things that we think are important. Ranging, and then like getting a little bit more formal, ways to more formally quantify and describe data in a way that might actually end up in a deliverable, things like frequencies, counts, and measures that we might not have caught in some kind of closed-ended question, but we still want to present, all the way up to a more synthetic or a kind of tagging where we're actually building a framework on top of the tags that we are applying to our data. So these are kind of three different ways to think about how we can use this tool. And the way that we go about doing those three things are, I think, pretty different.
Those three approaches are organizational tags, descriptive tags, and synthesis tags. So let's start with organizational tags. So you gave a nice overview of it, but let's go a little bit deeper. What are organizational tags?
Yes. So I believe organizational tags, or some people might think of them as informally bottom-up tags, are basically, in my mind, a digitized way of using a highlighter or using maybe sticky notes when you're reading a book. They are ostensibly a tool that you can use to just find things that you want to come back to in some way or another. And I can give a few examples here. I worked on a project in the past for a streaming service when I was consulting, where we collected, hundreds of instances of people scrolling through a streaming service and picking something to watch. So we had these videos, these 2-minute videos of people literally turning on their TV, going to the streaming service and just scrolling through and finding what they wanted to watch and then clicking it and the video ended. And that data is hugely messy, right? It's all over the place. It's super rich, but we needed to make sense of it. And so organizationally speaking, when I first got into that data, this is the time where I'm just getting oriented to the videos that are there. I'm scrolling through, I'm watching them kind of on sped up speed just to see what's there. And this is when my organizational tagging kicks in immediately. And this can be sort of on a meta level almost. I see a video that's really clear and good and think, if this supported a finding at the end, it would be really good data to show because it's just a really high quality video. That is a place where I might throw a tag on that just says good video, so that at the end of my project, I can come back and look at these, 20, 30 instances that actually are really high quality and see if any of them support the points that I end up trying to make. Or, great quote, really articulate, that kind of quote or that kind of thing. I can also take in the direction of tagging themes or repeating ideas that I start seeing, those things that as a researcher start really turning the gears, those thoughts being like, oh, that's interesting. I've seen that come up a couple of times. Something that you might want to return to and really kind of double click in on. I start throwing tags down on those immediately. And I personally use this very liberally. Anything that feels interesting, I just start throwing tags on. I can bucket them later, refine them, use them to describe or synthesize. But the first step is just starting to organize things into piles. I tend to use these early on in my research process, but that doesn't mean that they cannot turn into something more formal later. I also would use these a lot in interview data. When the videos are longer, we're not talking about 2-minute videos, we're talking about 30-minute videos or 60-minute videos. Organizational tags for me become extremely important, whether they're even just bookmarking when I asked a question, or bookmarking themes that come up across multiple questions so that I can kind of start to coalesce them later on. There are a million ways to use these. It's super informal, but I think a really important way to start out our research process.
When do you not use organizational tags?
I do not think that organizational tags by themselves should be used to present final findings to a in a deliverable or to a stakeholder. These are kind of by design just for keeping your records straight, making sure you know where things are as a researcher. But unless you go back through and make sure that these tag lists are more rigorous and well-defined, I would generally stay away from showing these to a stakeholder at the end. So for example, I might be tagging as I go through, as I went through this data about streaming services, I might be throwing tags on when I see people mentioning that they are bored of the process. That's an interesting thought, right? And I would want to later on kind of double click into that category and see like, well, what's making people bored? Is there something that's in there that I can present as a finding later? And that might show up in my deliverable as kind of pretty far removed from that tag. It might be a slide or a section about boredom and the things that are causing it, some quotes that I collected in that organization, but it wouldn't necessarily be 10 out of the 50 people I interviewed said they were bored because I wasn't paying that much attention. Maybe I was skipping by people who say they were bored because I wasn't actually applying that rigor in my mind. I was kind of just throwing things in a bucket. So without further refining them and moving them around, I wouldn't necessarily try to present this as a quantified result to my stakeholders, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. All of that makes sense. Like the organizational tags, like you said, are more generous, and then as you move into different types of tagging, they become more conservative, more specific, and more polished.
Yes.
And the next step up, so to speak, after organizational tagging is descriptive tagging. What are descriptive tags?
Descriptive tagging is kind of one step up for this, and this is when our goal starts to become to actually quantify and more formally organize sections of our qualitative data. So where organizational tags, I really feel like are the Wild West, the way people use them are really personal. It's kind of just however your mind works, whatever you want to come back to. I think descriptive tags need a little bit more, maybe not reservation is the right word, but intention behind them. Usually when I start describing data using tags, I have a question now in my mind. It's not just whatever I find interesting. I have a specific question that I am trying to answer in my qualitative data that this tag is going to help me answer. So an example might be, to use this boredom example, how many people did get bored, right? Now I have a really specific question. It's not just something I'm noticing. It's a follow-up question, right? How many people actually mentioned this? Because let's say if 30 out of the 50 people mentioned that they were bored, that is something that my stakeholders are going to want to know. But that's going to be something that I need to pay really close attention to. So this time when I'm going through my data and tagging more formally, I need to know, what do I mean by bored? What is the definition? What are the key words that I'm looking for? Not everybody who is bored is going to say those words aloud. So how am I actually defining that? And am I trying to tag every single person, just some subset? All of these questions, I think I need to have a little bit more of a specific answer and intention to before I begin. Because those are the kinds of questions that are going to give us confidence in the quantitative insight that we're rendering out of qualitative data. Other examples here, I could describe anything about these videos. I could describe whether or not they're using a remote, what device they're on, what TV show they end up picking even, right? This also is really helpful for qualitative open-end like survey questions often end up describing using quantitative data. Using this sort of more quantitative style of tagging. This is also really helpful for survey data that has kind of a really specific question. Like, for example, maybe you just asked in an open end, what did you end up watching? And you want to kind of see a frequency or word cloud or something like that of what that answer actually ended up being. So I might go through and descriptively tag that real quickly. And that's very easy because the survey question is kind of already targeted and designed towards that.
And you did quite a bit of descriptive tagging in your research, in your Disney media research. Do you want to talk more about that?
Yes, absolutely. So as a linguist, the vast majority of the tagging we are doing is descriptive tagging because we already, again, as sort of more quantitatively minded, mixed methods minded academics, we have really specific questions that we're coming into this textual data to try to answer. So in this example of this work on children's films we did, one of the things that we studied was complements. Who is complimenting who in this data, and what are they complimenting people about? This is a perfect example of a descriptive tag, because we've, you know, first tagged through who said the compliment, we tagged through who received the compliment, what their genders were, and then we had a descriptive tag list that are like, what are the things that people can be complimented on? Appearances, skills, personality traits. We generated that list and then went through and tagged every single answer with the category of compliment that we were on. And so at the end, those findings ended up being pretty much purely quantitative, even though we started with purely qualitative data. And we were able to give, you know, actually statistically significant results of like, oh, women get complimented significantly more than men. And the compliments they receive are significantly more likely to be about appearance. And this is because we were able to rigorously describe what it is that we were seeing in the qualitative data using this tagging technique.
The best products are built by listening to your customers. But without a great tool, capturing quality insights is nearly impossible. DScout was built to solve this challenge. Whether you're running moderated or unmoderated research, the DScout platform helps you recruit high-quality participants, manage unlimited concurrent studies, and share insights and video clips in minutes. Stop overpaying for questionable research. Instead, partner with DScout, the company trusted by Spotify, Lululemon, Google, and more. Visit dscout.com for all the tools you need to boost your insights program. Yeah, and descriptive tagging allows you not only to start to have some quantified frameworks for understanding this qualitative data, but it also helps you operationalize what you're seeing there, making some more sense out of it.
Yes. Operationalizing, I think, is another great key word here. I've been talking about things that are being directly presented to stakeholders, you know, things like bar graphs, statistical results. But I think it's also a great way to more fully operationalize your data. If you're working in a platform like DScout, for example, or other platforms that allow you to tag survey answers, you can actually start creating cross tabs or kind of really significantly drilling down into your data by using these tags actually as filtering tools or slice and dice tools, basically. So maybe if I was tagging, for example, the data about a streaming service, and I had a question in my mind, like, are people who are looking for TV shows more likely to rate the experience higher than people who are looking at movies? But I only asked what people were watching, you know, kind of in an open-ended question. This is a great example for operationalizing using a descriptive tag, because I can go through and tag that data. Is it a movie or a TV show? And then use that as my actual like way to slice up my data, right? Filter down to the movies, see what the rating is, filter to the TV shows, see what the rating is, and compare more quantitatively. But that kind of thing only holds water if you are rigorous and intentional with how and what you are describing, or else it's kind of just like a free-for-all.
You already started teasing this out. When do you not use descriptive tags?
This is where I think intentionality becomes key, and where I think I see the most time wasted, I would say, is in this space where people are treating all tags as if they need to be really rigorous and descriptive, when that's not necessarily what you are wanting to use them for. So, for example, if you're really just trying to bucket quotes into themes, something that you might just do sort of manually on a whiteboard with sticky notes, you don't necessarily need to be this intense about making sure every single answer is accounted for, making sure all of your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed, because ultimately you're not actually rendering anything quantitative from this. You're not trying to cross-tab. If those aren't your goals, there's no reason why your tagging process needs to be that rigorous and exhaustive. You can take a sweep through it and don't worry about spending that much time on it. And on the flip side, you don't want to, you know, just be casual and organizational about your tags and then shove that finding in front of an audience in a quantified way, right? So it's kind of all about like, when you are tagging something, thinking to yourself, like, what am I hoping to do with this data once it is tagged? And then applying the right amount of rigor accordingly, I would say. Another time that you want to be careful about using descriptive tags, and particularly to show findings to an audience, is in your interview data or in any more naturalistic kind of data. Because when we do a survey, we can be very sure that everybody received exactly the same questions, right? Because it's asynchronous and it is in, you know, it's in textual form. So everybody has the opportunity to answer exactly the same questions. This is great for rendering out things like frequencies. You know, if you ask everybody what TV show they watched, they have to say something. And so you can really meaningfully say, like, okay, this many people had the opportunity to say a movie and they did, right? When you are talking with somebody in like a semi-structured or unstructured one-on-one interview, this becomes a little bit more messy. We can still describe our data, but I think that we have to be really careful about what we are describing and how comfortable we are showing that as a finding to our audience, because it might not be the case that everybody is getting asked the same thing in the same way. So a theme might emerge in, you know, 10 out of your 16 interviews, but those six that the theme didn't emerge in, is it because they authentically didn't have that opinion, they didn't have that sentiment, or is it because you didn't ask them the question in the way that elicited it in the same way? So this is a way that we can think about descriptive tagging all the way back in our design phase. If you know that there's something that you're going to want to describe early on, like, I really want to know this sentiment, to be extra sure with a highlighter or with a more structured interview that this question is asked in more or less the same place in the interview in the same way. And that is something that will lend itself better to quantification. Alternatively, we can go the opposite direction and describe things that are totally naturalistic, right? That nobody got asked about. And then we can give this interesting insight of, like, nobody got asked about this, but it arose organically this many times. That's also an interesting insight. But where we start getting messy and where you might not want to use tags with the intention of quantifying and cross-tabbing and these more formalized things is when we're not totally sure that everybody got asked the same thing in the same way, because that really muddies your data. And you can still organize and you can still find themes and say things like, oh, this came up several times. This came up enough to be interesting. That's fine. But we can't say 12 out of 20 people said this, and that is something we should pay attention to, because that data is too muddy to be, we run the danger of presenting a false insight at that point.
Muddy data. Yes. I know, like, when I prepare my discussion guides or interview guides, you have it prepared, you have it worded one way, but when your sessions are live, you may realize that the wording may not work for certain respondents. So you may have to change it so that they understand what you're asking them. Then you think, okay, well, is the question originally clear? The previous people who answered the question, did they understand it, right? You get into that muddiness. And it is hard to gauge that, because sometimes if you're using descriptive tagging, it may be too late to rectify that. And then maybe you may have to rely more so on organizational tagging. It gets very messy.
It does get very messy. And I think that there is some, when it comes to interviews, there's a little bit of gray area between these two things, because often in one-on-one interviews, precisely to your point, they are organic, they morph. Both over the course of a study, right, as you refine and refine and refine the way you ask your question, but also even over the course of a conversation, if somebody ends up being more chatty or more reticent, or there's something they just really want to talk about and you can't get them off that, right? Like, that data just gets muddier. And that's the beauty of it in a lot of ways, because you get so much organic information, but it does make it harder to wrangle. And I think that there is a little bit of a gray zone here because of that, right? That you might start really bottom up, kind of just listening through your interviews and starting to throw tags down on things that you find to be interesting. And if you notice something that feels like it came up in enough of your interviews that you want to try and get a more polished result from it, to really drill down and define what it is you think is, you know, kind of creating that theme, or like what is really going to be your trigger for putting that tag down and going back and listening through with more intention. I think there's still a lot of value in that. And if enough people, like, we can still make maybe pretty broad claims, like the majority of people said this thing, or Everyone who said this was the reason why, right? Like, that's another great way to use this kind of like quasi-descriptive method. But if we're really getting into the world of quantification, IDIs just aren't always necessarily the best way to do that, unless you are running a very structured, you know, maybe a moderated usability test where every time you are asking somebody, were you able to accomplish this? Or can you rate this experience 1 out of 10? You know, these very deliberate questions, then you can start quantifying. But I agree with you. I mean, sometimes you just can't list frequencies, you know.
And we've been talking about tagging in ascending rigor. So we started with operational tags, which require less rigor, descriptive tags, which require more rigor than organizational tags. And then we have the most rigorous of the three, synthesis tags. What are synthesis tags?
This is my personal word for it. I hear other people, I believe, calling them inductive tagging. Are tags that I consider to kind of be foundations for new insights. And this is really where qualitative data shines the most and where we get the most out of it. Because the beauty of qualitative data is often that we don't know what we don't know, right? We ask these open-ended questions specifically because we don't know enough to ask a closed-ended question, right? We don't have enough of a hypothesis to put this in a more bounded survey format. We need the breadth to sort of discover new territory. And I think that synthesis tags are a way to sense make that new territory. And I'll give some examples here because it's a little bit, I feel like I'm speaking a little bit abstractly. Returning to the streaming service idea, the biggest insight that we found out of that study, which we were not anticipating at all, is that we had collected all of these videos, right, of people looking for something to watch and clicking in, and we wanted to see how the UI was really functioning there. But what we weren't expecting is that we actually found that there was a huge disconnect depending on the mood that somebody was coming to this UI with. And that we found that actually there are sort of two big ways that people were approaching looking for a show. One of them was very targeted. I know what I want to watch. And the point of the UI is how quickly can I get to the thing that I want to watch? You know, maybe it's I already am watching a TV show. I just need to find the next episode. Or like, we have an idea of the movie we want to watch. Let me get there. That was one mode. Then you have the like, I don't know what I want to watch. I just want to watch something, right? And I'm sure we've all been here, right? You get caught in the sort of browsing loop of kind of just trolling through and seeing what you see. The UI, depending on what you're trying to do, is serving a really different function, right? Whether it's getting you to the thing that you want or whether it's kind of serving up new content in a more relaxed way. We had no idea that this was going to be so impactful, but as we were watching through, we started noticing, and partially through our organizational tags, right? Oh, the frustrations in this mode are really different than the frustrations in this other mode. And started to have this thought being like, this is going to crack this whole thing open, right? Like, this is the key insight that these folks need to understand in order to start building like in new directions in their UI. So in order to do this, we needed to describe our data, but we were describing it using something that was completely new that arose naturally and qualitatively across multiple survey answers in these videos. We are basically synthesizing a finding and then using that as the foundation for our tag list. And that drove basically the entire rest of the report. Once we were able to tag the data, depending on the mode they were in, it unlocked all of these differences and insights, right? We were able to comprehensively describe each of these two situations that we didn't even know were going to exist in the first place. So hugely powerful. But in order to get there, we need to be very, very intentional and rigorous, right? Because this is no longer just kind of a finding. It is the foundation upon which all of our other findings are sitting. So if there's something broken or shabby about that foundation, that crumbles not only the finding, but basically the entire report. So I think that the synthesis tags are the ones that by far require the most thought. the most rigor and the most careful intention when it comes to not only applying the tags, but devising the tags in the first place, right? Because we're actually aiming to explain our data in a new way and slice it up in a way that we hadn't even thought was going to be a thing.
So it sounds like you would use synthesis tagging when you have a very clear idea about what you want to tag and what potential themes may emerge. And the synthesis tags are more polished and closer to what you would actually share in the final deliverable.
Yes, definitely something that I would end up sharing in a final deliverable. I would also say that synthesis tags tend for me to be very late game. This is something that I might only discover after I've already fully applied a bunch of descriptive tags, right? Descriptive tags, I think, are a little bit more surface level. You're just kind of seeing things as they come and devising questions, hypotheses, tagging to answer those questions and hypotheses, starting to slice and dice things around. And a synthesis tag often only comes up after you've done that, right? And you've spent some time in the data and discovered some key insight, some key synthesis that you're like, oh, this is actually describing something really important. And from there, developing a very clear idea of what that is. My experience, though, is unlike descriptive tags, where I think the tag list almost writes itself a lot of the time, right? The questions might be a little simple, like, what TV show are they watching, right? Watch the video, see the TV show, apply the tag, done, right? Or maybe it's just like simple mentions of themes, like, are they bored? That is something that requires a little bit of thought, but it's not too hard of a question to answer. But with a synthesis tag, often these tagging categories are a little bit more abstracted, right? Because they're representing synthesized insights, not just a one-to-one thing that's happening in your data. So I was talking about like modes that people are in. Personas might be another really great thing to think about in terms of synthesis tags. Like if you're going through data and you're realizing, oh, there are actually like four different kinds of people who are participating in this, and maybe my stakeholders would really want to see that. That's not only, nobody's ever going to say like, I'm this kind of person, right? You're kind of deducing that from the whole, the study as a whole, they're all of their answers. You're kind of synthesizing this thing. If you're going to tag that way, I think that you do need to have a lot of intention in terms of like, how am I arriving at this insight? Like, how am I arriving that this person deserves this tag or this answer deserves this tag? Because it's not going to be something that you can just look at and immediately write down. But with that information, I think like these are the, if you can get there and if you can and be really rigorous in describing your data in these abstracted or synthesized ways, these are going to be some of the most powerful insights that you deliver. And the thing, they're often going to be the thing that your stakeholders are talking about once you put it in front of them.
And when do you not use synthesis tags?
You know, when you don't need to. They're really powerful, but they cost a lot. I'll tell you what, they take sometimes days of work to sort of deduce, you know, because it's all of this front hand work, right? All of the organization, all of the description. Then you have the idea for the synthesis tag. Now you're going all the way back to the start of your data, making a tag list, going through all of it. It takes a lot, you know. And again, it can be really, really positive. But I would just say, if you don't have the time, and particularly if you don't have the time to do it well, because again, if it's not done comprehensively and well, then it's not actually that useful, and you've just cost a lot of your team's time thinking and tagging for not a lot of benefit, I would say.
How much time should tagging take, whether you're doing synthesis, descriptive, organizational?
Those are really different answers, I think, depending on, again, what you're aiming for. And I think that's why it's important to have the intention so that you know, how much time do I have? How much time do I need, right? Organizational tagging takes basically no time because you're not beholden to the data. You don't have to tag every response or even every interview if you don't want to. It's all about what helps you. And I'm often doing that organizational tagging just as I'm going through the data. I'm going to be weeding through it anyways, right? Highlighting and thinking and processing. Might as well throw some tags down. So that takes basically no time at all. And it's just kind of an extra tool in your tool belt to help you as you're more qualitatively assessing what's going on in your data. If you are running quantitative tags, it depends again on how hard that question is to answer. If it's something like, what movie are you watching? And they just wrote the answer and all you need to do is translate that answer into a tag. Like, obviously that's going to move faster. But if you are trying to describe something a little bit harder to suss out, like what's their sentiment, or how many times did they mention this particular theme? How many times, something that's going to require you to really scrub through data. You need to allot yourself a little bit more time and to be able to do that. And then synthesis tagging is by far the most, because those tags are abstracted. They often take revision and they need to be pretty thoroughly laid out. So I would reserve those. And I think, like, I'm not giving you a very clear answer, that this is the best I can do maybe, is that I think that organizational tags are measured in minutes. Descriptive tags probably measured in hours. Synthesis tags measured in half days, you know, or even days.
Those are fair units of measurement. Yeah, again, the muddiness of research, that's fair.
So it's like, it depends, well, how many people are there? How many questions are you tagging? Is it interview data, text data, video data? There's so many other variables. But yeah, I would generally say that these get not quite exponentially more time consuming, but somewhat close to that. And they also get much more powerful as they go up. So I think the question is, how much do you want to rely on quantitative findings or on sort of quantitatively informed methods of analysis like crosstabs or these sort of deep dives into categories you're very sure of, frequency reports, etc. Then you're going to have to dump more time into making sure that you have a strong foundation for that. Whereas if you're just qualitatively kind of grouping things into buckets, then I think that we can take a more casual approach, because our tags are really just qualitative support tools and not the foundation for an insight in and of itself.
When tagging, are you just tagging or are you stopping and gleaning insights and a storyline along the way? I know it's probably different. I got the impression that it probably is a different answer for each type of tagging. With something like synthesis tagging, you probably have a really good idea. You are gleaning insights. That's the synthesis tags are the foundations of what you're going to share with a wider group, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to organizational tagging, if you see something that is a cool insight, you tag it. That's the impression that I got. Do you think that's a correct impression?
Yeah, I would say that all tagging approaches should be towards gleaning insights, right? And I think that this is something that you develop over time as a researcher. You gain an intuition, right? When you see some quote or some recurring theme that you kind of have that, you can start kind of sniffing it out, right? You're like, oh, I think this is going to be really fruitful to pursue. And I think that, like, tagging in a way is a marker of that, of like, oh, this is interesting enough that it's worth coming back to in some way. Whether it's more informally, like with an organizational tag, you're like, I think this is worth at least keeping an eye on it, right? Coming back to it, bucketing it, up to descriptive tagging of being like, oh, I think this is worth refining and making sure I'm really describing my data with this, all the way up to like, I smell a core insight and I want to make sure that that insight is solid. And I want to give it to my stakeholders in this format. So I would say tagging is never just tagging, because I think that that is where you start wasting time. If you're thinking to yourself like, oh, I'm just tagging, I'm tagging because that's what you do, then like, don't. Just don't, right? If you're not sure why you're doing it or what you're going to use them for, or you don't have at least a hypothesis about why this is going to be a useful activity, I don't think it's something that's worth doing just to do, ever.
Of these three types of tagging, organizational, descriptive, and synthesis, which is the best for multiple researchers tagging at once? So I've had a lot of contracts where there were multiple researchers working on one project. We were all tagging in a software or a tool at once, and it got kind of messy. So what do you think about that?
All three of them can work great for multiple people tagging at once. But it again comes down to, what are you intending to do with that? What's the purpose of having multiple people tag at once? In some cases, I've worked on projects before where we are collaboratively organizing and sense making the data from the bottom up. This is a very messy approach, but very interesting way to generate insights. If everybody takes their subset of interviews or goes through all the interviews and throws down their own organizational tags, however makes sense to them, right? They're starting to see categories and themes emerge. They're bucketing. Maybe I'm not sure if this is what you're referring to, but then you go to your tag page and there's just like 100 tags and they're all different and they're kind of overlapping and just messy. I think organizationally, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because what you're doing with those tags is generating discussion, right? The way that we went through that project, we all tagged individually, very casually, organizationally, and then had a day where we sat down and looked at this big pile of tags and had a really powerful discussion about cleaning them up, right? Oh, these two actually are one category. These are actually one category. And what we were doing is moving away from organization and more into a descriptive framework, right? And in doing so, started generating a lot of the insights that ended up being relevant to the report. In that instance, we never actually presented any of those frequencies to our stakeholders, because we didn't necessarily want to go back and do the work that it would take to do that. It was enough to just have those organizational conversations and find the themes that were going to be relevant. And then they were already bucketed well enough that we could go back and find the quotes we needed to support. So that's an example of like organizational tagging can be very messy, but it's allowed to be messy. That's the beauty of it. And it's great at generating qualitative information. Descriptive and synthesis tagging, very different story. You do not want mess in these, right? You want rigor. You want consistency. And so having multiple people tag becomes a little bit less of a benefit and more of like you're getting the benefit of speed, but you need to work against the fact that there are multiple different brains on this project. So my answer to that would be it can totally work and it's really helpful. You know, many hands make light work, especially if you're really trying to power through dozens or hundreds of survey responses. The thing that I would absolutely recommend is tag lists, code books, and being so overly intense about it at the beginning. When I make a code book, which is to say basically a description of my tag lists, it comes in the form of a document. And every tag that I intend to apply that's descriptive or synthetic, I've got the name of the tag, a pretty comprehensive description of what I mean from that tag, keywords related to that tag, and then a couple of entries. I'll actually put a list of survey responses, links to spaces that I'm like, this is for sure that tag. And at the beginning of a project, when multiple people are going to be tagging, if it's going to be descriptive or synthetic, we'll walk through this codebook together and even tag some together, sitting together or on a call together, to be like, okay, we all agree it's this one. We all agree it's this one, to really try and calibrate that inner coder reliability. And everybody is working off of this tag book, come rain or shine, forever. and that can be, yes, it's a very intense process at the beginning and it feels like it costs time, but it saves hours at the end of a project that might be wasted trying to clean up a messy tag list after the fact. So that was a long-winded answer, and that's my little soapbox about code books, but all of them are great for multiple researchers. It just depends on, like, organizationally, it's great to have multiple minds doing multiple things, and you can come up with cool insights that way, but it's not rigorous to present that qualitative data at all. Descriptive and synthetic, great for speed, great for getting those insights generated quicker, getting that data described quicker, but that the rigor becomes of utmost importance and you need to really make sure you're aligned before you get going.
What happens if you have a code book and you start with closed tags, but then you discover that those closed tags weren't sufficient and now you're open tagging?
Two things. One, the best case scenario is that this doesn't happen at all. And if you begin with organizational tagging somewhat comprehensively, you'll actually head off this problem pretty easily, right? If you're really familiar with your data, you can actually begin to write these descriptive tag lists after having the reference point of your organization, right? You can write your descriptive list and be more confident that you would otherwise, that this more or less accounts for all of your data, as opposed to the more organizational approach of just kind of like flying blind and open tagging as you take more information in. Another way to head this off is by doing what I call pressure testing. If you are devising a tag list that's a little bit more abstracted, a little bit more synthetic, to take a stab at it, just writing your tag list and working individually in a code book and actually just practice tagging a couple of interviews or practice tagging maybe like 30 survey responses for about, I would say like about half an hour or 40 minutes of tagging, and see whether it is accounting for everything or whether early problems are standing out, and then revising from there before you get anybody else involved or before you kind of like lock it in as the thing that you're going to do. This does, again, take a little bit of extra time. I don't know, not everybody has that time, but again, time spent up front, better, I think, than time cost at the back of a project when you're already kind of busy and stressed about putting together a deliverable. That being said, this is an unavoidable situation sometimes. You just find out that it's not working, or another coder gets on the project and their mind is like, these tags aren't working. They might see something you don't. In these examples, I would say never start open tagging. This is my personal approach, but if you have a closed tag list, especially if you've shared it with other people, but in my case, in any example, the worst thing that you can do for your tagging process is start open tagging at some unknown place in the middle of your data, because you're basically resigning yourself to having to go through the whole thing again to try and figure out, when did I change this and what did I change it to, and are the old tags still useful or are they not, etc. There's a whole host of questions that generates that throws a big blanket of mud right on your tagging. What I like to do is have in my code book, if I realize something's not working, I literally generate one extra tag, which is, this isn't working. Like, this is wrong. And I also have a really, really big other category. If my tag list is not accounting for something, I just throw it in other and throw on that tag, this sucks, basically, like, this is not right. And from there, now I can actually, when we're done with that, if all of the coders are doing that really reliably, all you have to do is get together in a room at the end of the day, filter to the this is not right tag, and see usually what happens in that other category, the this is wrong category. You'll see exactly what the problem is immediately, right? Like, oh, 3/4 of these other tags are in a bucket that we just forgot to add. Tag them, takes 5 minutes, you're done. Or maybe you'll tag it with something that you know is wrong, put the this is wrong tag on, and then you only have to filter to that that mistaken tag bucket and fix the problem. And then I just generally just remove the this is wrong tag as I go until it's down to 0. And you've basically taken that process down from like a really stressful day or two of like arguing back and forth with your coders, or like kind of pulling your hair out looking at what went wrong, to a really simple, streamlined task of just cleaning out a muck bucket, basically.
Thanks for listening to the Yizzy Research Podcast, the podcast for people who research people. I'm Imani, the host and creator. Visit yizzyresearch.com for podcast show notes and information about my UX research coaching program. Again, that's yizzyresearch.com, Y-Z-Z-I, research.com. This podcast was produced by Whisper and Mutter.